This morning, my title of message is Sound Speech. I had just about an idea to change the title to What Am I Saying About Jesus? But we'll stay with that title, Titus chapter 1. Verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure. Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Chapter 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no man, and to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Text verses, verse 8 in chapter 2. Sound speech is not vain or meaningless, but it's worthwhile speech. It is, in 1975, Tim Hardy set a record for talking of 144 hours. That's unbelievable. Be that as it may, it's not the amount of words we speak, but it's important what they are, whether they're sound speech or not. Few people can speak clearly at the rate of 300 words an hour. John Kennedy, when he was president, he could speak 327 words. He fit into that category. The Pharisees, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, they wanted to be heard for their much speaking. They thought that speaking would give them the advantage. They used vain repetitions. Now, repetitions are not wrong, but it better be saying something to us if we follow the path of repetition. It must be saying something worthwhile. Other than that, it's just vain babbling. Like the Baal prophets there in Mount Carmel with Elijah, in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 26 to 29, the Baal prophets, they jumped around and cut themselves that the blood flew and called upon their God, and nothing happened. But Elijah, in a few sentences, called upon Almighty God, and the power fell and the fire ate up the sacrifice. Worthwhile words. When you speak to God and God answers prayer, they were worthwhile words, like it did for the prophet. Elijah didn't need to do that. He didn't need to put a show on to get the Lord to answer, but he just spoke to God in a common, ordinary way from the bottom of his heart. God listens to those that speak right for him. In Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, the tongue of the learned is able to speak timely words. The prophet also says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Some persons can average 30 conversations a day. If we have the gift of gab, we will be saying 25,000 to 30,000 words in a day. This is 1/5 of our life, which will conclude about 13 years, filling 132 400-page books. The Power of Persuasion in Speech by George Whitefield. He could touch the emotions of the heart and turn the audience to tears. But it's not the turning the audience to tears, but it's turning the heart to God that counts. It's not swaying the men's emotions by the speech they have, but it's turning their hearts to God. That's what counts. Having a speech that touches not only the feelings, but goes much deeper than that. The use of the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what it says in that verse. For we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10. That's why it's so necessary today to have sound speech. Speech that speaks something to men, because we're going to meet the judgment day. Ephesians 5:6 says, vain words are speculative words. Doesn't say that word in there, but that's what vain means. Speculative words, they're hollow and they're dangerous. There is no reason for us to be deceived by vain words. No reason for it. Because we have the word of truth right before us, and we have it available every day. And we should know what truth is, that when something comes our way that we know that isn't sound, we'll know all about it because of what the word tells us. We are responsible. Vain words will condemn us. James 5:12. The unbridled tongue in James 1:26 is related to religion. A religious service giving a testimony without a life that corresponds with what we're saying. That's what James 1:26 is telling us. If our life does not correspond with what we say, what we are saying is vain. There was a certain young businessman asked to speak at a local church, and he chose the topic, "Thou shalt not steal." And he really emphasized it, and he was strong in it. He didn't deviate from the word of God one way to promote the idea of "thou shalt not steal." The next morning, when he got on the bus, he gave the man a dollar bill, and he gave him the change back. And when he went to his seat, he counted his change, and he had 10 cents too much. And he thought, oh, well, the bus company won't mind that. But then he was convicted. And he went back and gave this man the 10 cents. He said, you gave me 10 cents too much. Yes, he said, I did it on purpose. I was in your meeting yesterday, and I wanted to see if you really believe what you said. And so that's where we are at today. We need to stand on what we say that is right.
Amen.
No one knows our honesty unless we give out the samples, it said, with that illustration. 2 Timothy 2:23, foolish questions and unlearned questions we are to avoid. Partially informed is not edifying. Being partially informed is not edifying. Ignorance offers nothing, but ends in arguments and anger is not convincing or edifying. We're to avoid men's philosophies, Colossians 2:8. The mixture of God's word and man's thinking. Colossians 2:18 says, man has the tendency to worship man, angels, or any other thing, but God. They accept visions and dreams and cults and avoid the truth of God's word. That's why we have so many people going astray today, religious people going astray, because they don't accept all of the truth, and then they'll end up with a cult or something that isn't quite sound. Job 15:2. Should a wise man order vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? We're not only to be windy, as some are classed, but produce weighty words. A sense of humor is in order, but it needs to be guarded. Not be caught with the tongue of the crafty, that's in verse 5, in that chapter. Job verse 15, 5. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Crafty means to be shrewd, cocky. I remember one time Milk Inspector came, he was with another farmer, and he said, he's a cocky kind of a fella. He used that term. Well, it applies to being shrewd and being self-confident. That's what it applies. Let's not be in that kind of, caught in that kind of thing. Using God's name in a deceitful manner is dishonesty, and that we have in Leviticus 19:12. It shows what our personality is all about. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have been heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair black, white or black. But let thy communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more of these cometh of evil. Does what we say help God's cause? Speak evil of no man, says Titus 3:2, that I read. Sometimes we hide what we say by a wall of words that has been stated. If we have nothing to say, it's no use reveal it by words. If you have nothing to say, it's better to say it as it is and be up front, not beat around the bush. And we cannot live with neglect. Let's live in Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. That's where we need to live. What effect will gossip, slander, sinful speech have on us if it is not rebuked? Not say everything, let it be proved. It may not be true. That's in Proverbs 11:13. Quote is, a bit of love is like the only bit that bridles the tongue. In Titus 1:10-11, it speaks about the vain talkers that deceive the minds of the people, teach for financial gain, no concern for their spiritual welfare. Voice and speech tell our mood. Words justify or condemn us. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. James Riley was asked about his success as a speaker. He said, I talk till I get tired, and you talk till the audience gets tired. Two men were in an argument, and they were swearing at one another. And he wanted to apologize to the minister. Well, the minister said, you don't apologize to me. You have to apologize to Almighty God. He's the one that you have to give an account to. George Washington said about profanity, a vice so mean and low that all men of sense and character despise it. Ulysses Grant said swearing helps to arouse a man's anger. Helps to arouse man's anger and the adversary. The adversary always gets the advantage. Swearing and idle words are a waste of time and must be given account of. The power of evil speech. There were two parrots, one owned by a singer and the other by a a person that used profanity. And then the parrot that was owned by the singer was put over to the other parrot, and he also learned the speech of profanity, been put under that influence. Let's guard our influence. It's more subtle than we might think. Wrong thinking and speech sells us out spiritually. At Genesis chapter 25. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Wrong thinking and speech sells us out. And we have in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, Esau was classed as a profane man. He sold himself out. He sold away the thought of being a righteous person, and he was condemned. Here are accounts in the Bible of men that talk that condemned themselves. Cordathan of Iron spoke against Moses' authority, and they went alive down into the pit. Judgment of God fell. In number 16, this account was, Shimei cursed David, 2 Samuel 16, 19. He called David a bloody man. He rebelled and spoke also against authority, and he was put to death by Solomon for disobedience. Absalom stole the hearts of the people in 2 Samuel 15, 4 and 6 by flattery, and he was slain in battle. Hophni and Phinehas threatened the people, and he said, "If you don't give me this flesh, we'll take it by force." And they were also slain in battle. 42,000 Ephraimites were slain because they couldn't speak one word right. They said Sibboleth instead of Shibboleth. Moses spoke ill-advisedly in Psalm 116, verse 33, and he was banned from Canaan. Judas said to Jesus, "Hail, Master," and kissed him, the betrayal speech, Matthew 26, 4. And he was convicted, and he went out and hung himself. Peter cursed and swore and denied Jesus, Mark 14, 17. But he repented. He was known by the accent of his speech. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied in Acts chapter 5, and they were struck dead. What will be our speech when Jesus comes? Will it bar us from heaven? There will be no time to repent. Let's stand at this time, and we'll ask the song leader to lead us in life songs number 250.
Jesus, all my days and all my hours. speak forth his praise.
Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How often have we failed to keep cool? Guard what we say and how we say it. Persons can be controlled by the tone of our voice. The soft voice is the overcomer. The soft, relied angry words will help quench the flame. It serves to cool the heat of wrath. It puts to end the blame. Staying calm is the best way to take the wind out of an angry sail. For any angry person's sail, it keeps us from flying too high. Count out of Matthew that Jesus said, some terms are used today that shouldn't be used, some used by us sometimes. The man upstairs, for heaven's sake, oh my goodness, oh boy and his cousins, and there's many other such like terms that are used to emphasize our speech. But our speech, Jesus said, should be yes, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, and no, no. Not beat around the bush. The unnecessary and extra to put emphasis on what we say is according to the flesh. The slip of the tongue gives the unpleasant surprise. It cuts like a barbed wire. It says many things are open by mistake, but none more than the mouth. Guard against, they say, and I heard and am told, and a lie always travels faster than the truth. The good things your neighbor does are never heard about, but when he does something wrong, everybody hears it. Guard well our tongue, firm careless words, whatever else we do, our error we speak. Be sure that we know it's true. They say the one who creates smoke, hoping others assume there's a fire. Upright words, how forcible they are. Job 6:25. Words that produce praise, as Jesus when he spoke about Nathanael in John 1:17, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Those are the words we need to speak. Could the people around us here today say, behold, a Shirksville Mennonite in whom there is no guile? Could they say that of us today? Sound speech. Job 1:21, sound speech. He said, the Lord has given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where we need to find ourselves in regards to sound speech. Would this be our speech if we lost all our family, all our possessions? We were smitten all over with boils. How many of you ever had boils? Do you know how painful they are?
The most that I had at one time was 4. And I had them in my face, here in the side of my face. The first one I had was here in the front, and it opened up the inside of my mouth, and it didn't heal. And I had to go to a physician. My father sent me to a physician, and he put a light on. I don't know how often I went. I was old enough to drive a car on a bicycle. And finally, it healed up. But thinking about Job and a little bit of a conflict that I had with that, and thinking about Job, he had them all over. His wife and his 3 friends and all others primarily had forsaken him, giving him no comfort. He didn't have a lazy boy to sit on. All he had was a pile of ashes to sit on and cover himself. That's all the comfort he had. That it says in verse 22 that Job did not charge God foolishly. But in chapter 3, there is a failing of Job. He cursed the day that he was born. Job 3:1. But he didn't curse God. He never said anything about God. I don't believe that wasn't right, because God recognized him in the end that he was a faithful man. Job was hit hard. He was not recognized, but he was mocked, despised, depressed, and sore all over. He could have said, "What next?" That's what he could have said. That's what we're prone to do when something happens to us that we don't like. What next? But did he give God the praise? How little does it take for us to endure before we succumb to complain? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what they do, that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2. Let thy words be few. In Jesus' example, in Matthew 26:37, and in his Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, and in Lazarus' resurrection, John 11, you read all those accounts, and they were short statements and prayers of Jesus. Nothing lengthy, but to the point. It is said the creation story took 400 words. The Ten Commandments, 297. There was a senator in the government who complained about the length of material published by the government on the reduction of cabbage seed. It required 2,500 words, then the Declaration of Independence only required 1,821. Being brief can mean all it should without all the extra additions. People who speak volumes usually end up on the shelf. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 2 minutes, and the other man that spoke was an hour and a half. Which one is remembered today? Far back as 1865, and Lincoln was on the scene. What is remembered, the hour and a half address or the 2 minute? It's better to bite the tongue than to let it bite someone else. The Bible says more about gossip than it does about drunkenness. The children of the king use king's language. It is better to choose what we say than to say what we choose. The words of self-praise that don't count, Matthew chapter 7. These are words of praise that don't count. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a speech that God will not accept, but it's a condemning speech. Here's what our goal needs to be in having right speech. We need to have an undefiled body, a clean mind, a sympathetic heart, a consecrated will, a spirit-filled life. Not only have Jesus, but have him as Lord. You know, if you know anything about Jesus as Lord this morning, the word Lord is mentioned 5,000 times in the Bible. It must be important. The speech of all liars is classed with one, with 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. All other sins, it's classed with that. It is included there. There was a little girl, one time came to her mother, and she asked her mother a question. Which is the worst sin, to tell a lie or to steal? I don't remember what the mother said. Anyway, the little girl said, I've been thinking about this a while, and she thinks that lying is worse. Because if I steal something, I can give it back if I didn't need it. But when I lie, that's said. I can't take it back. It's already gone. All liars, it says, will end in the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. The power of words. A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill. A brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way. When I think about gracious words, I thought about the Sunday school lesson this morning. Jesus spoke gracious words. I can't do that. All I can do is the ability that he gave me. That's the only way I can speak. And according to the word of truth. But it says here, a gracious word may smooth the way. A joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress. A loving word may heal and bless. Kind words are a flower-strewn path which leads to a fresh spring of living water, soothing hearts of men. God's word instructs us not to judge. So, Lord, we humbly pray, restrain our lips when we would speak those things we should not say. It is much easier to be critical than to be correct. We mutter and flutter, we fume and we spout, we mumble and grumble, our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things, our vision gets dim, when all we need is a moment with him. Pray that heaven may seal our lips ere unwise words are spoken, for heaven cannot recall one word and then we that seal have broken. Be careful what we speak, save for we speak for eternity. If we have something to say, we may not be talking too much. Communication is important. There were two brothers that I knew of that could work together all day and didn't say a word. I don't know how many of us could do that. We may talk too much or not enough. But we can never talk too much about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing we can't talk too much about. And maybe most of us are doing too little of it. If we haven't talked about Jesus, we may meet him without our wedding garment on in Matthew chapter 22:12. But then it's late, too late to do anything about it. It'll be too late to talk anything or any word for him. We must present Jesus Christ today. Accept that cruel sneer, like the songwriter says, and the unbeliever's rebuke. It may mean silence at times, but as Jesus kept silent in Matthew 23:12 and Isaiah 55:3, it says, as a sheep led before the shears, dumb, so he opened not his mouth. It may mean silence. But praise God for his cleansing blood to have accomplished an acceptable speech for all of us to be involved in. Holy Spirit direction. To keep our mouth open or closed when it's necessary. Let's have our candle lit so we do not complain about the darkness about us. Maybe kneel for prayer.